Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride. Welcome to Hacking Love, Deepening Commitment Through Open Relationships. I'm Anna.
And I'm Aiden. We're thrilled to have you on this journey.
Together for 3 years now, we both came from long marriages and found ourselves craving a fresh approach to love and connection. Traditional monogamy just didn't resonate with us anymore, and we realized that exploring ethical non-monogamy could be the key to deepening our relationship and enriching our lives. In this podcast, we'll share our experiences, insights, and the lessons we've learned along the way. We want to create a space where you can feel comfortable exploring new ideas about relationships, whether you're curious about E&M or just seeking solutions for challenges in your current partnership. So if you're ready to rethink what love can look like, tune in as we dive into the world of ethical non-monogamy and discover how it can revolutionize your relationships. Welcome to Hacking Love. Welcome back to Hacking Love. Today we're going to take a little break from talking about our activities and talk about our experience with and a little bit of my own personal expertise in the area where I work in anti-aging and erectile dysfunction and female sexual dysfunction, hormones, peptides, and all the kind of medications and other resources you can ask your doctor about, because I think there is not enough information out there on these topics. A very small percentage of women who are eligible to be offered hormone replacement therapy are not. And I don't know what the percentage is on men, but it feels like more men are getting offered testosterone, but I don't know.
Well, we hear about it and we ask about it, right? And we know it's a thing because a lot of guys talk about it. And it's not that complicated compared to women. There's True. A lot more to do with women.
Yeah.
But the health side of it is just as complicated in many ways. So we'll talk about anti-aging, hormones, hormone replacement.
What you can do to just feel your best, because I feel like a lot of these topics just actually don't get talked about. There's so much shame around them. And you get into the lifestyle, it's like all of a sudden you may have been really comfortable with your own partner, and all of a sudden you're dating again, but like with your partner. And you might become self-conscious about the way your body looks, the way it functions. For men, getting hard, staying hard. For women, being wet, being aroused, wanting to feel sexy, all of that is wrapped up in our hormones. And so few women are being taught that any time after the age of 35, that is perimenopause. That is when our hormones start to decline. And we'll talk about that. But we're just not being given the information, and we're just left to believe that we're just getting older, just stressed out with the kids or work, and here's an antidepressant and a sleeping pill and an anti-anxiety medication, and that's not really treating the root cause. I work in functional medicine and anti-aging, and I have years of experience advising women on this and hooking them up with providers who will actually help them. So I thought this was a good thing to mix in with our podcast because it's so relevant to what we see in the lifestyle that's often not talked about, or they're just, if people don't have the information that they need.
I've seen this mentioned in other podcasts, And some of the information seemed to be correct. And I think there is an approach that's gaining momentum.
I think after COVID, I think functional medicine has really taken off, honestly.
Yeah.
What we saw with COVID was that people who are metabolically damaged seem to have a much worse time getting and dying of COVID. And the problem with the conventional medical system is that they are not treating the root cause of disease, and they are simply covering up symptoms with pharmaceutical medications that are often causing other side effects that are damaging, and then they have to prescribe other medications to fix those side effects. And in the end, people are just getting sicker and sicker instead of getting healthier like they would want to. And as we age, we all want to feel our very best. We don't want to be on a boatload of medications feeling overweight and foggy and losing hair and have no libido and depressed and anxious and not sleeping, right? These are the major ones, with no energy. Fatigue, that's a huge one. And so there are ways to do this, and a lot of these are prescription medications, but they're very different from the prescription medications that are covering up symptoms, right? If a woman has anxiety and insomnia, she doesn't have an Ambien or a Xanax deficiency, but she probably, if she's in her 40s, probably has a progesterone deficiency. But her doctor's not telling her that. Nobody's testing her hormones. No one is offering her bioidentical hormone replacement, or if they are, they're not offering her the full range of options that are available so she can make her own choice for what's best for her.
And the reason for that is there's an education gap, and there's also a lot of built-in bias in the medical community to write prescriptions and treat symptoms that is really antiquated. And what we're seeing in the culture now is a lot of people are learning about, hey, I don't want to live like that. I don't live on a bunch of pills. I don't have all these side effects. I want to live right, and I want to live like my body wants to live, which is in a state of balance, in a state of youthfulness, which can be attained as you're older with the right approach, the right diet, the right set of hormones, and the right replacement of things that we lose naturally as we age.
So we're just looking to replace what our bodies made naturally in our youth, right? So yes, prescription bioidentical hormone replacement is a prescription, but it's not the same as getting a blood pressure medication or a statin or an anti-anxiety pill or an antidepressant, which I know can be life-saving for some. But let's at least talk to our doctors first about addressing the root cause. It is so common that someone has a low thyroid function or imbalanced hormones, and that really is the root cause of what's causing their weight gain, mood changes, hair loss, you name it. And then once you get those fixed and those balanced, the person feels much more like themselves, and they don't have to resort to multiple other prescription medications that are just covering up symptoms. So I put prescription meds in two different categories. One where you're covering up symptoms and masking, and the other where you're actually treating and addressing the root cause, and you're just replacing the same exact molecule that your body would normally make in our youth. And that, to me, is completely different. In that category, we have bioidentical estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, bioidentical thyroid hormone replacement, even, and this might be controversial for some, GLP-1 medications like semaglutide and tirzepatide, which are otherwise known as Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. GLP-1 is a natural peptide made in the body that we can have deficiencies in if we are overweight, obese, have diabetes, prediabetes, and small doses replacing those peptides in our bodies as needed, not in the mega doses that the brand name prescription brand name pens are doling out. Those are much too high of doses that we've seen. But these are things you can talk to your doctor about, but not if you don't have the information. We are not doctors, and we don't pretend to be, but we have been on our own health journeys, and we can talk to you about that. And we can certainly give you the questions to ask, to talk to your provider about, so that you come into your appointments with a good enough knowledge base to advocate for yourself. So you ask good questions, so you know what your options are. If, for example, hormone pellets. The pellets are a form of hormone replacement therapy that is extremely profitable for medical practices. It is not covered by insurance. It's bioidentical, but it requires an in-office invasive procedure where an incision is made in your backside, and these hormone pellets are inserted, and they dissolve over time, over about 3 to 4 months. The problem with them is that they are expensive. You have to recover. You tried them once, and you were mm-hmm. sore for at least a week. Mm-hmm. That affected our sex life. That wasn't comfortable. But a lot of times the practices that offer pellets will tell you that is the only way to do hormone replacement. And they do this because this is where they make thousands of dollars, right?
If they even do that, because I anticipate a lot of people out there might go talk to their doctors, and their doctors will say, oh, no, poo, you really need a statin, or hormones are really dangerous. They cause breast cancer, which has been completely debunked.
Totally debunked.
And so, you know, the healthier people you see out there, especially in the middle age right now, are the ones who are really revolutionizing their health with a functional medicine approach. They are questioning what the medical system is telling them. They're seeing their parents who are victims of the medical system, and they have decided they want to do it differently. Now, I know a lot of the people that come to see you, Anna, are already broken by the medical system. Mm-hmm. They've been prescribed SSRIs for 20 years. They've been told, hey, you're just getting old. That's just how it is. You lose your libido, you lose your hair, all these things where they're absolutely fixable. The conventional medical system does not teach them this in medical school.
No.
A doctor who's 25, 30 years in his career or her career is working on 25 to 30 year old bad information from back then. And it's really sometimes difficult to find the right practitioner who understands functional medicine over just conventional prescription writing medicine.
The insurance model is not treating us the way we need to be treated. It may be less expensive, but it's not cheap if it doesn't work. And so we, and a lot of the people we know, have opted out of the conventional medical system, and we only go with functional medicine providers who are educated in hormone replacement and peptides and anti-aging, because the conventional medical system is simply not equipped and they are just not educated on it. And I've never felt better. I look and feel better than I did in my 20s and
30s. Same here.
And the conventional medical doctor's like, wow, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing you can help me with. I'll ask you. But they're like, oh, I'm terrified. I don't know how to write a prescription for testosterone injections for women. Oh, that sounds terrifying. I'm like, no problem. I have my own. I have three different functional medicine practitioners helping me, because some are really educated in proper thyroid optimization, which I'm not going to go without, right? Most people who are being treated for low thyroid function are being treated only with a T4 only medication that's inactive and doesn't make them feel better at all. That's the standard of care. So you have to find a functional medicine practitioner to actually help you get optimized. So they'll give you active thyroid hormone that will actually improve how you feel.
Let's talk about the optimization and the difference between labs that you might get when your doctor says, okay, well, let's go check your labs. And they give you a set of 6-7 labs to go check, insufficient. And then compare that to what a functional medicine approach looks like in terms of what the labs are and then optimization of those.
The difference is in completeness, honestly. It's really not that difficult. These are labs that are covered by insurance, easy to do. All they have to do is check a box when they're ordering the labs.
They won't very often.
They just won't do it because they don't want to deal with it. They have one standard of care. They don't want to manage it. If they test something and discover something, then that's more work for them. They have to manage it. They don't want to do it. So you get what you pay for. And what is your life worth, your quality of life, right? How many years do you have to go feeling like garbage or just becoming frail and ending up in a nursing home?
So tell us about the normal versus optimal.
Okay. You guys, when you're getting your labs done, you get your labs done and you come back and your doctor says everything looks normal and you have these normal ranges next to whatever you...
We've all seen them on our lab report.
Right.
Oh, it's normal. So it's in the green. It's not red.
Right. So these normal ranges are not optimal ranges. These are averages of all the sick people getting those labs done at that lab. And so you'll notice if you can pull up old labs from years ago, you'll notice normal ranges have changed and they vary by lab too, right? So every lab is going to have a different normal range because it's just based on the population that's getting their labs done at that lab. And as the American population gets sicker and sicker, the normal ranges get sicker and sicker. So it's less relevant to good health.
So basically your labs are being compared with all of the sick people in your area who've gone to that lab.
Right.
And so if you compare yourself to the average American, let's say, you might look perfectly healthy.
Your average for the average sick American, 94% of us are metabolically unhealthy. I think 75% of us now are overweight or obese. We are not in a good place, right? 30% of erectile dysfunction is due to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension, right? So we don't want to be in the normal ranges, or my coaching clients don't want to be in the normal ranges. They want to be optimal. They want to feel their best. They don't want to be average for the average sick Americans. And people in the lifestyle, we're dating again for the first time with our partner, we want to be our best. We don't want to be in the middle of a lifestyle experience and not feel good about our bodies or not feel confident about our performance, especially men. And look, it's really about, yes, I love the body positivity movement. We want to feel great about our bodies, but the best way to feel great about your body is to feel healthy, to have energy, feel like you can do things. I like to be able to take all my groceries upstairs. I like to focus on strength and health and energy and vitality, cognition, mood. Are we having brain fog? Are we depressed all the time? So much of that has to do with what we're eating, how much we're exercising, and if we're getting proper hormone replacement at the right time in our lives. And even if you have a cancer risk in your family, you could still do vaginal estrogen. There is zero risk for that. You can ask any doctor, they can look it up. I can very confidently say that on here. So don't let yourself just have dry vagina for no reason. You don't need to do that to yourself and suffer. You could get chronic UTIs from lack of estrogen. That's one of the most common reasons for women dying as they get older. They get osteoporosis without hormones, increased risk of heart disease, dementia, but also these chronic UTIs, and then the infection goes systemic. And I know you're listening to this. You probably have a mother or grandmother who's been in the hospital because of this, with kidney issues and UTIs. And it's because that generation, the baby boomers and beyond, they were deprived of hormones. They were the ones that were yanked off of their hormones in the middle of perimenopause 30 years ago after the Women's Health Initiative. And they have suffered immeasurably because of it. And Gen X, which is what we are not having it. And neither are the millennials or the Gen Zs, I guarantee you. They don't put up with anything. I love Gen Z. They're my spirit animal. They don't take any shit.
So optimal would be what?
Optimal. So that's why I do what I do. There is no list on the internet somewhere of all the optimal ranges of labs.
Why is that?
That's just, I don't know. There really should be.
You could look up what are the optimal ranges for this particular.
Sure, you test. Could, and you could find different, and that's what I did. It would take you a really long time. That's what I did about 20 years ago, and I created my own spreadsheet with all the optimal ranges of all the different labs, and because they weren't available, mm-hmm. Right? There was no one concentrated place, so I created my own database of it with all of the research and PubMed articles and books by MDs who have had clinical experience in treating patients. And these are the optimal levels that they found where people feel their best. And that's how I help my coaching clients. And then I help match them up with providers who will actually help them support their health goals, who use these same optimal ranges. And it makes a huge difference, right? There is a huge difference between optimal and normal or average. If you want to prevent disease, dementia, heart disease, osteoporosis, osteopenia, which is loss of muscle mass as we get older, that's a huge issue. We don't want to become frail little old ladies or little old men, right? Part of longevity, and obviously longevity in the bedroom too. We really enjoy like very athletic sex, and we're like in our 50s. I swear to you, we would not be doing this.
Definitely beating out my 20s in terms of all of those things.
Oh, 100%. And it's so great because you don't really appreciate it when you're in your 20s. And we so appreciate it now. I just had my trainer text me to confirm for tomorrow. And it is something I will not go without. I don't want my body to fall into disrepair. And that can happen so easily. I lost my dad when he was in his 60s. And it's just not something that should have happened. He was a smoker and a diabetic, and he ate the way the American government told us to, the food pyramid, right? If you guys are old enough to remember that, where we're supposed to just eat mostly bread, pasta, cereal, crackers, waffles, all carbs and no fat. Then here we are, all diabetic, including myself. I had to reverse my own type 2 diabetes several years ago. So we've got to start doing differently, and especially if you're in the lifestyle and you want to get the most out of it.
And I would say this is not even a question. This is mandated if you want to live a long, healthy life. Definitely. After your 40s.
Yes.
Because it doesn't get any better unless you make it better.
Yeah.
And you've lost, let's say for men, you've lost the testosterone. It definitely declines over time. And if you get your numbers come back, and if you're in your 40s or 50s, they're going to be lower than what would be optimal. You're definitely not probably matching what you had in your 20s.
No.
So time to replace that. And if you replace that, not only do you have a better libido, which is what you hear a lot about testosterone, but you feel better, you have better energy. During the week, you're just sharper, you have less brain fog. Testosterone is the basis for everything else that happens in our body as we age. And it is required. It's just required at this age.
For men and women.
Yeah. You've talked about grumpy old man syndrome.
Yes.
If you run out of testosterone and you're in your 60s, you start to get that grumpiness to you, right? And you
get off my lawn.
Yeah, get off my lawn syndrome. And that's specifically a result of low testosterone.
Yep.
That's just one of the things. Low libido is very important. Especially if you're in lifestyle, you want to have that libido. Your body might not be catching up with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the testosterone will help even that out and give you a much more natural sexual function and libido and all the things that come around that. And ED, it's counter to ED. If we talk about men, I'll share my story there.
Yeah.
I went in, before I met Anna, I went in to see my conventional doctor, and I said, yeah, what do you think about this low T issue out there? I was very uneducated about it. And she's like, you can go to one of those doc-in-a-box places. Because she was very anti-prescribing me anything for testosterone. She'll prescribe me statins, which are terrible. And she'll prescribe me other pills. But she wouldn't prescribe me the life-affirming molecule of testosterone. And so I believed her. And I said, okay. I said, why wouldn't I go to one of those low-T clinics? And she said, they're just trying to make money. I'm like, okay, but that doesn't answer my question. Why? What's the health issue? Your body will stop making it. At the time I had a test, I think I was at 300 testosterone, which is pretty low. Very low. And she was telling me that was normal. It was in the normal range. Low normal. So you're probably fine. So come back later when you really need it, and maybe I'll give you a prescription. And I went back. I remember I came to you later, and I said, my doctor told me it was normal. And you said, what is it? And I said, it's 300. Because I said, she says my body will stop making it. And you said, your body's already not making it. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
It's andropause, right? It's no different from menopause for women. It's just a slower decline for men. And so it's like telling a woman, if you take hormone replacement in menopause, your body's going to stop making it. We're stop making it anyway.
That's the point.
When you get past 35, both men and women, our hormones start to decline, okay? And we can either live with it and go into a state of disrepair and misery and disease, or we can replace it. Now, of course, if you're still trying to have children, that's a different thing. Testosterone hormone replacement in men will lower your fertility. In those cases, there are other options. But yes, if you're finished having children, good grief, do not pass go. Get thee to a T clinic. Enjoy your life.
So I did replace. I got the pellet first.
Yep.
And the problem with pellets is, one, yes, it's a profit driver. So if you go to a conventional medicine doctor who does testosterone, like a urologist, they will probably push you into the pellets, which can be fine. But for me, they were uncomfortable. The main issue I had is you can't adjust your dose.
Nope.
So yes, you don't get the needles, which is a separate thing we can talk about, but they're in your backside and they're there releasing testosterone into your body. A friend of mine had the doctor put way too many of the pellets in him, and he had major complications from that. So you want to be careful about these things and really research them and consider them. What I do is I have testosterone cipionate. And that's how you pronounce it, right?
Cipionate,
thank you. And I inject with a very small needle 3 times a week.
Insulin needle.
Yeah, these are really small needles. Each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday before my workouts those days, I'll do a third of a dose for the week. And it evens it out over in my system, because I've realized in my labs that if I take the 1 time a week shot, which is the first thing they recommend, which is intramuscular, which is a little longer needle. It's thin. It doesn't hurt or anything, but it's a little, it goes into your muscle, into your leg or your arm. And you take that shot for that 1 week, you spike your testosterone. And then over time, you find this imbalance. And the key to testosterone is keeping it balanced, because too much will promote estrogen.
So if you get too much at once, more of it's just going to convert to estrogen or DHE.
But you don't want that. You don't want more estrogen as a man. Want more testosterone, less estrogen. But it will convert if you have too much of it.
Yes.
So I even out during the week. And that's relatively new. Even since we started doing this, we've learned that along the way from talking to other people and getting into this functional health environment. So that works for me. And I have to tell you, my energy, my libido, all those things I mentioned are on fire in a good way. I just feel better. I sleep better. Everything is better with taking this hormone. And so if you're a man 40 plus and you're feeling any of those symptoms, it's time to maybe think about at least checking what your levels are. If you're 600 up, you're probably okay. But if you get any lower than that, you're really going to want to think about replacing it. Now, the other thing they beat it up on in conventional medicine is, oh, you'll have to use it forever, which is fine. I do it forever, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And it keeps me balanced, and it keeps me living a high quality of life.
And you look better than it. You have people asking you right and left what you're doing.
They do ask me that a lot.
And you have always gone to the gym, but now you're getting the results from it. You don't look like some roided out person. You just look fit as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are, nobody has any idea how old you are. Like you look so good.
That's good. That's a good thing. They don't know that. I definitely look better. I feel better. I like the way I look. That my body's cut. In fact, somebody at that party is like, what are you doing?
Yep.
And I'm like, what do you mean what am I doing? He's, you're really cut. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm eating and I'm replacing my hormones and I'm working out. That's pretty much it.
That's
all you got to do. But if you commit to those things, you can absolutely transform your body.
Yep.
I remember 10 years ago, I was showing you a picture of my passport.
Uh-huh.
From 10 years ago. And yep. I was unrecognizable.
Unrecognizable.
And yeah, I was 10 years younger, but I had the whole dad bod going. My face was more swollen.
It was just puffy and inflamed.
Yeah, it was puffy.
You look like a movie star now.
So say you. So if you're a guy out there, definitely understand what your levels are, and your doctor will write you a prescription for tests for your testosterone if you ask for it. That's one thing they will do.
You just have to know what to ask for.
Oh, yes. Know your levels.
Yes.
And then when you come back and they're low and you research them, they're low, you don't necessarily listen to them about what's low because they may be very biased.
Yep.
But
uneducated.
Uneducated and biased often. And when you find out what the right level is, get it up to that level. Now, there are supplements you can take like DIM and others that are known to help a little bit. But if you're really low, it's not going to help that much.
No.
Yeah, guys, get your levels, know what they are, and then maybe have a plan of attack and to address it. Now, the other piece of that is you do need to take other measures in your life to really hit that health goal. One would be your diet, for sure. One would be slowing down or eliminating drinking, which I've done.
Yep.
Which is transformative when you think about it, taking all that sugar and all that alcohol out of your system. And then working out. And I was not the guy who wanted to go to the gym all the time. I'd work out here and there thinking I was working out, but I really wasn't. It wasn't until I found a trainer and said, here's my goal. I want to be in good health. I want to be cut a little bit. I want to look better. Tell me what to do. And I just followed what she said to do. I came in 3 days a week. I saw her for an hour. It wasn't really easy in the beginning. I felt out of place because I hadn't been to the gym in a long time. And over time, I got used to it. And now I can't help but go to the gym. And it's really that easy. Just having someone to be accountable to. Tell them what you want to do and let them tell you what to do and do what they say. And if you do that for 3-4 months, you'll notice changes. If you're also taking testosterone, you'll definitely notice the changes and you'll be on your way to a much healthier body and a better looking body.
You time your injections before your workouts, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Do you do it the same day or the day before, or how does it work better?
Yeah. And I don't know if that's better, but I think it's better.
Because you notice it.
Yeah, I do. Like, I'll notice, like, I'll go and I'll take my testosterone in the morning and I'll go to the gym. And that night, I will see the results in my body. I will see that my muscles look more defined. I'll be like, man, I'm looking pretty good right now. That's pretty cool. And then 2 days later, do the same thing. And then over time, I start to realize, man, I'm looking pretty cut.
Yeah.
And women like that, especially in the lifestyle.
Yes, they do.
And that is one thing that, one of the reasons we wanted to do this recording is because in lifestyle, you really do want to look your best. Like Anna said earlier, you're dating now. And you've been comfortable with your partner for a long time, and you both know each other really well, and you love each other and all that. But once you come into the lifestyle, you're dating, and you want to be as attractive as you can. And that's just a fact of it.
I don't want to be the reason that some other couple turns us down, and you don't get to play
with some hot girl. Right, and vice versa. And so that's just for guys. It's testosterone, diet, and working out. And also getting off statins. Let's talk about statins for a moment. Oh, God,
you guys. So cholesterol is not the problem. The root cause of heart disease is insulin resistance. The root cause of that is excess carbohydrate consumption, sugar, alcohol, gluten, those kind of things. They cause massive inflammation in the body, excess insulin and blood sugar, which are super toxic to the body. That is what causes heart disease. If you went to a all good fat, all protein diet, your lipid panel would totally normalize.
Which is what happened to me.
It's exactly, and what happened to me.
I got off statins under your prodding because my functional medicine, quote, doctors who were not that, were prodding me to get on statins because my LDL was so high. And I would come to you and you're like, do not take a statin. And I looked into the research with your guidance and I'm like, this stuff is killing people.
Yeah, they double your risk of diabetes. If you get diabetes, that doubles your risk of getting dementia. I've seen this over and over again. Also, cholesterol is the building block for every hormone in the body. Our bodies need it. These guys who come to me who are on statins have testosterone lower than mine. They have enormous bellies and terrible insulin resistance. We get them off of the statins. We get them on to testosterone. We get them on Armour Thyroid, which is a bioidentical hormone replacement for the thyroid hormone and is great for boosting metabolism and for muscle strength and mood and cognition. And then we get them on a tiny bit of GLP-1, semaglutide or tirzepatide, and they are unrecognizable within a year.
Yep.
And that's the same for women, honestly. It's just a little more complicated because we have 3 hormones we're replacing, not just the 2, or typically.
But statins.
I was reading actually studies last week for work, and it is shocking. They increase all-cause mortality for women, and they think so for men as well. They literally are doing nothing, and statins are, they're going to very quickly be replaced by GLP-1 medications.
Yeah, it's already happening.
It's already happening. The GLP-1 medications, tirzepatide and semaglutide, lower heart disease risk and cardiac events by 20 to 50%, depending on what study you look at. That is incredible. We have nothing like that. These medications, if they weren't associated with weight loss, the, all of the other things that they do for heart health and inflammation, they would be heralded as the biggest discovery in healthcare since penicillin. But because they're associated with weight loss, there's so much controversy around them because we have so much fat phobia, and God forbid anyone cares what their bodies look like. But if we took this medication and we said, okay, they don't cause weight loss at all. All they do is reverse heart disease, improve kidney function, lower inflammation, reduce autoimmune antibodies, right? This is a freaking miracle.
We're talking right now about semaglutide and tirzepatide. So Wegovy, Ozempic, those things. So that in a class, that class of prescription medication is actually a beneficial,
extremely beneficial, as opposed to statins, which are not.
Yes, statins are destructive. And you watched your father go through this, right? So tell the story.
Oh yeah, my grandfather was this extremely fit former Marine. He would run down by the beach and do pull-ups. He was skiing in his 80s, and then he was put on statins, and within a year or two he got diabetes, then he got dementia, and then he was dead. So it literally killed him. I'm pretty sure my dad was put on statins too before he died of dementia at 67. These are not isolated experiences. You can go on PubMed and read about
it. Yeah, I would say that what I was going to say on this whole thing is do your research. We're just two people on the internet, but do your research and learn about these studies and learn about what these drugs actually do, and really get into statins in particular. If you're on one, you're probably hesitant to get off because of the myths that have been created scare about tactics. The benefits around it and the scare tactics. This doctor I was talking to very recently was telling me you have to take a statin. We're going to give you a low dose one. It's going to be the easiest one you can take, the least invasive or whatever. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking it. And then changed my diet, got on the hormones. I take a little GLP just for health reasons. And my numbers are awesome naturally.
Yeah.
And
the armor thyroid.
And the armor thyroid, which is important.
It's the trifecta.
Thyroid, let's talk about thyroid medicine. So our thyroids are shot in this society because of what we eat, because of our environment. Thyroid health is at an all-time low.
Yes. So you guys, the thyroid is a butterfly-shaped gland in your sort of around your throat in that front section. And it is the master gland of your entire body. Your thyroid hormones fuel every single cell in your body. If you don't have enough thyroid hormone, you will not be able to get pregnant. You won't be able to think straight. You can't grow hair. You cannot maintain a healthy weight. You will put on weight. You will just be exhausted. The fatigue from having low thyroid function is...
And the worst case of that is Hashimoto's, right?
Hashimoto's is the most common cause of hypothyroidism or low thyroid function. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease, and it can often be reversed by not eating gluten or cow's dairy. And then we're also finding that GLP-1 medications, semaglutide and tirzepatide, are lowering the autoimmune antibodies for women who are and men who have Hashimoto's disease, which is, it's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Now, how many of the middle-aged women that come to see you have a low thyroid?
Everyone. All of them. Yes. And it's very common, especially after childbirth. You'll have your kids and then your metabolism. So many women have had this experience. Tell me if you've had this too. You breastfeed, your metabolism speeds up. You're like, wow, I've never been this thin in my life. And then all of a sudden, a year after you stop breastfeeding, you put on 20 pounds. You feel like garbage. You've got moon face and you're just exhausted all the time. You're depressed. You can't sleep and your hair's falling out. And then your doctor puts you on an antidepressant and a sleeping pill, and nobody's checking your thyroid function.
The way it should be checked.
The proper way it should be checked. You need a full thyroid panel instead of the one or maybe two tests they look at. You cannot properly diagnose a thyroid condition or treat it without performing a full thyroid panel.
And guess what the treatment is? It's one little, tiny, little bioidentical, natural pill.
Yes.
That you take daily, and over time, your thyroid will correct itself.
Yes, it happens. Our thyroid function falls as we age. It falls after child's birth. It falls when we eat gluten and cow's dairy, and we have all kinds of toxins in our environment from infections. It can also fall after we have some kind of a surgery or an accident. Our bodies will slow our metabolisms down to heal, right? And under chronic stress, our thyroid function will fall in an attempt to slow us down and heal us. But that doesn't always help when we are in a food environment where food is just overabundant and super addictive and hyper palatable. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a serious obesity crisis. Right. Exactly.
Okay, so that leads us to, and I feel like we're all over the place on this, but, and we'll get to, at the end of this, we'll do a summary of each of the things that we're talking about. But let's talk about sugar and carbohydrates, because that is the problem. It's not fat, it's not cholesterol, it's sugar is the pandemic that we're facing right now in our diets. And if you look at how we have, I would say digressed, but progressed in weight and in insulin resistance over the years, since we introduced all this sugar into the diet, the food pyramid revolution, people are unhealthier. Think about it right now. Are we healthier now than we were 30 years ago? No, absolutely not. And that is because of this food industry promoted addiction to sugar that we have as a society. It's in every single thing we eat. It's really hard to avoid. I have to avoid it in everything I buy and eat because I just don't want to put all the sugar into my body all the time. I can feel it when I have too much sugar.
It's purposefully addictive. It's a cheap additive that food companies can add to products that is extremely profitable, and it's known to be addictive. Rats will choose sugar over cocaine, heroin, meth, anytime. It is that addictive, and they know it. So they add it to everything, including savory foods that don't even need it, like soups and salad dressings, bouillons. You have no idea.
They get really good at reading labels.
You have to get really good.
All the time whenever I go shopping. And I have a pretty short list of things I can buy and eat on a daily basis. And that's because I don't want this introduced sugar into my diet, which I know is bad for me.
The more you eat, the more you crave. Really? That's what I found with type 2 diabetes and having, it's like being a recovering alcoholic. Like, I just have to avoid it. And I can eat all I want of foods that are high in protein, high in good fats, and I don't ever have to be hungry again. But I had to shift the foods that I was eating, not the amount of food. I eat a lot more food volume-wise now than I ever have. But I'm back to my high school weight and more muscular and cut, and I feel fantastic. And I still haven't gone through menopause, and I'm 51 years old, and it's, if you keep the inflammation in your body low, like sugar and excess carbohydrate consumption increases something called advanced glycation end products in your body, literally AGEs, that kind of caramelize your cells and age you. You've seen those people who just, they maybe live hard, drink hard, just don't eat well, eat a lot of sugar, and they look pretty rough, right? Like the skin is wrinkled, they've got a lot of age spots, right? That's advanced glycation end products from excess carbohydrate and sugar consumption. That is what happens. And you can turn it around. I've worked with coaching clients who literally within a year of changing their diet, their skin, they don't even need Botox anymore. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's transformative. Again, I keep using that word, but it really is. How do you live without sugar?
I don't, right? I'm not perfect all the time. I still go down rabbit holes. Like when we went on our trip this summer out of the country, we thought we were buying plain yogurt, and it turned out it had sucralose in it, which is a sugar substitute, but it actually raises insulin higher than table sugar, and insulin is the hormone that tells
sucralose is worse.
Sucralose is actually worse. Insulin is the hormone that tells your body to store fat rather than burn it. So every time you eat carbs or sugar, your insulin goes up and you feel starving all the time. Your body stops burning fat. It immediately starts putting on the pounds and packing away the excess glucose as fat. And so here we were, and we were craving it all the time.
We were just crack addicts on this yogurt there. It was this yogurt in this country, and it was like so good.
And we had no idea.
And the ingredients were in Spanish.
They were in Spanish, and they were tiny, and you really illegible. And we're both need readers, and so we were like, we had to. We're at the grocery store, and I took a picture with my phone of the ingredients, and I blew it up so I could actually read it. And I was like, God damn it, like it has sucralose.
That's why we've been eating it for 5 weeks.
Sucralose is actually Splenda. So when we came back, we both put on our continuous glucose monitors on the back of our arms, and we wore them for 2 weeks and just used it as a reality check to get back on track. I highly recommend those. They are prescription only, but you should ask your doctor to prescribe them. You'll get pushback. They'll say, oh, your insurance won't cover it. Fine. They're not that expensive if your insurance doesn't cover it. Plus, they're not something you have to wear all the time.
And what does that tell you, this glucose monitor?
The glucose monitor.
And how does it work?
You put it on the back of your arm. Each sensor lasts 2 weeks. They're super easy to affix. And you use your phone, an app on your phone, to scan it. And it measures the glucose in the interstitial fluid of your body. And so it gives you a running tally. It's like a little graph up and down of what your glucose is doing after every meal during the day. And then as you sleep. And it tells you how you respond specifically to each food you eat. And sometimes it could be a matter of, shoot, I ate my smoothie that has some carbs in it before I had my bacon and eggs, and so my blood glucose shot up. So next time I'll have my bacon and eggs first, layer in the fat and protein first, and then have my smoothie on top of that. Then my glucose is stable. So maybe you don't have to give up a food. You just switch the order of the food.
It's but very individual, times, right? Because I can eat grapes and my glucose stays pretty much the same.
Oh, mine but is you have terrible. It and it just
shoots to the top.
Yep.
So everyone's it's very, different. It's a very individual. But it's really the great thing about a glucose monitor is you can really measure what's happening with your body at that time. So you can go, oh, wow, an hour ago I ate this meal and this is what it did to my blood sugar. And oh, I know I shouldn't eat that again because it really blew it up. And when you eat something, it's going to spike your blood sugar. But sometimes you don't. And sometimes it's hidden, like in the yogurt that we were eating.
Right.
It was totally hidden. And we were totally addicted to that yogurt.
Oh,
we would put nuts
so
in
good.
It. It was so good. And berries and that fresh pineapple. And so we went off the rails. But that just shows you how addictive the stuff is, even with people who know how addictive it is.
We know what we're doing.
We know what we're doing and we still got nailed. So
we did.
So I think the sugar beast is one you really want to conquer. And if you look at anybody around you, a lot of us know people who are doing really well and they're getting really healthy and you ask them what they're doing and 9 times out of 10, they're cutting that sugar way down and they probably are limiting their drinking, if not eliminating it. And this is a wave that's happening right now. If you're online, if you're on Instagram, you're seeing this stuff. If you've got it in your feed, there's research to be done even there. If you fill your feed with really well-known functional medicine doctors, you'll start to learn a lot. Actually, that's a really good way to learn.
Honestly. Anything by Mark Hyman, Dr. Mark Hyman is excellent. Yeah. I would say Huberman is good for GLP-1 medications. You want to watch Dr. Tina Moore, T-Y-N-A-M-O-R-E. Bioidentical hormone replacement. You want to see Kelly Casperson, Dr. Kelly Casperson, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, Dr. Rachel Rubin, any of the menopausy that's on Instagram.
Menopausy.
It's great. No, they're evidence-based. I really like them. I want to become part of the menopausy. It'd be so fun. On statins, I would go read Dr. Stephen Sinatra's book, The Great Cholesterol Myth. It's an excellent one.
By the way, you said something interesting. It's evidence-based.
Of course.
And everything we're telling you guys is evidence-based. This
Absolutely.
Has come out of years and years of not only your research, but a lot of people's research. And that is counter to what you might hear in your doctor's office. Is what they'll tell you is that's not the evidence doesn't show this, but everything we're telling you, the studies are big conglomerations of studies that, like for example, there are tons of studies on statins out. A lot of them are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, but the ones that are done by NIH and others are much more informative.
And you want other countries.
In other countries as well, because they're not really on that.
And honestly,
they don't have that lobby going on.
You can't argue with your own results. Like our conventional medical doctors look at us and how healthy we are and our labs are perfect.
They're confused.
And we're in our 50s and we are basically at our high school weights and we have no sexual dysfunction and we are working amazingly. Like how do they argue with what we're doing?
They question you.
Like, they do.
They're confused by when you go in there, like, how can you be this weight and be this healthy?
I'm like, you need to practice medicine this way. This is not hard. I'm dying for practitioners to send my coaching clients to who actually will do the right thing. I mean, I have some, which is great, and I'm glad I do. And those patients are doing great. But a lot of times it's a patchwork of healthcare providers. I have, like I said, I have three. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to feel my best. And if one doctor won't play ball or just doesn't have the required expertise, I move on to somebody who will. I don't know how many years I have left, but I want them to be awesome. I don't want them to be in a nursing home. And I love sex and I want to have a lot of it, especially with you.
Yes. Please stay healthy so we can keep doing that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But what I was going to say about the food part, people are like, oh gosh, how do you give up sugar forever? And I'm like, look, I really think it's important that if you want to live an amazing life, that we have to redefine what it means to treat ourselves. Okay. Like we have been trained by the advertising industry in this country and the food industry to feel we're supposed to eat junk food. That's what the advertisements
are telling us. You deserve it.
You deserve a break today, right? The Snickers commercial that shows a soccer mom turning into a literal monster on the side of the soccer field because she hasn't had a Snickers because she's hungry. And then she has a Snickers, she turns back into her beautiful self. Like literally food companies are telling women, you're ugly unless you eat junk food. That is madness, right? Poison yourself with our crap and profit our bottom line so then you can get sick and then go profit the pharmaceuticals bottom line. I don't fucking think so. I just opt out of that. So people are like, you won't have birthday cake on your birthday? No, actually I don't. I want to have some nice fucking salmon and broccoli that's not going to trigger my insulin resistance.
You also have maybe a gluten-free cake, or you'll have something that you have can substitute.
I will have something, yes.
And for me, and I'll tell you, you're pretty rigid on your diet for many reasons, but my thing is that it isn't so hard to adopt this lifestyle, and I say lifestyle, small L.
So many good substitutes.
I find substitutes. So if it's, for instance, I used to love ice cream. I would eat ice cream every night. I just love it. And I still love it, but I won't eat it because it's packing in tons of sugar and it's very small bites and it's just not worth it to me. So I can find substitutes. One of my favorite substitutes is I just find some really good almond butter with no sugar in it. And I put blueberries in it and keep it cold, and I can eat almond butter. I can eat almond butter all day. It's all protein. It's great. And I remember asking you about this. How much of this can I eat? And you're like, all you want. If you're not eating sugar, you can have all the
real
fat
food
and all the protein you want. So I was talking to someone else. I was talking to my brother recently about this, and he's, I'm really hungry all the time on this diet. I'm like, just go eat. He's, what do you mean? I go, you're on this high protein, high fat, low sugar diet. You can eat all the high protein, high fat you want until you're not hungry anymore. And that's what fat does. It fills your belly. And sugar will not fill your belly. Sugar will make you feel hungry all the time. And so you'll start late night snacking. I used to go through sleeves of crackers. Just I just need to fill this hole in me. And
it has no nutrient value,
and
right?
Yeah, there's no nutrient value.
So
to
your nutrient
carbs.
Density of your, I don't like to say diet. I like way of eating. The nutrient density of your way of eating will go way up when you get rid of the carbs and the sugar. Because think about it, what are you eating? The carbs that you are eating hopefully will be nutrient dense. So berries, nuts and seeds, avocado, olives, that kind of thing, non-starchy veggies, that kind of thing. And then you're eating hopefully high quality meats, which are extremely high in nutrients. And then you're eating high protein foods. Everything, the more you can eat real foods that are one ingredient, the better. And you can eat unlimited amounts of those, truly, until you're full. Fat does not raise insulin at all. And again, remember, insulin is the fat storage hormone that causes your body to store fat rather than burn it.
So when you eat carbs, your insulin goes up, you store fat.
Yes. You eat fat, your insulin doesn't go up at all, and you stay full. In fact, if you eat a meal and you're hungry an hour or two after, that means you did not have enough fat at the last meal. And I know it's counterproductive if you grew up in the 80s like I did, with the fat-free movement and fat makes you fat. It is exactly the opposite. I probably dropped 10 pounds when I got rid of carbs and I moved to a high fat, high protein, nutrient dense, anti-inflammatory diet. And I was eating 4,000 calories a day and still losing 2 pounds in a day at 4,000 calories a day, you guys, not kidding. And I had to add back good carbs working with my doctor to stop the weight loss in my 40s. What?
I think a lot of people listening to this are like, maybe they have a little belly that they're not excited about. If they're talking about getting a lifestyle, they're not happy with their bodies. Maybe they feel a little inflamed, a little sluggish. 90% of that can be cured by just changing your way of eating.
Yeah.
That belly fat is all diet. It's 80-90% of its diet.
Sugar.
It's not working out. It's not doing crunches.
No.
It's sugar and it's alcohol, of course. That definitely gives you the belly. And it's other things that inflame you. It's inflammation, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about alcohol.
I know this one's tricky popular. So we don't drink. I quit drinking when I was 41. So it's been 10 years now. I never drank a ton. I found that it's almost like I have an allergy to it in a way. Like I feel like if I had one or two drinks, I just was hungover for a week. It would affect my mood, my energy, my cognition. I was grumpy with my kids. I just didn't want to be that person. And so I just cut it out and I never have felt better. I actually have more energy. I can stay up later.
How do you do that with a lifestyle? That's the tough question. How do you have...
No one even notices.
It's just, I think the question for people is, because a lot of people in lifestyle drink a lot. It's nerves and it's just socializing. It's what they've always known. It's how they party. We went to a club this weekend with our lifestyle group and people had been drinking all day because there was another event going on. And everyone was pretty hammered by the time we got there.
Yeah.
And we came in and we enjoyed ourselves. We weren't drinking. I think I had sparkling with a lime in it. And, mm-hmm. and it was still very fun.
Totally.
We didn't end up staying the whole night like a lot of them did. Because I think when you don't drink, you just don't have that need to stick around too long.
Yeah.
When you do drink, you want to stay around forever. But it's very endemic in the lifestyle, drinking is. And it's hard for a lot of people to get over that. Hard for them to imagine doing this without wine at dinner with each other, and then drink a little pre-drink for the nerves and the socializing and the partying. And I can see it being difficult. It's not difficult for us because we're already there.
Yeah.
But I could see it being really difficult to extract from that and really, and considering your health and all of that.
I was worried. I was worried how I'd be socially after that. But I also just thought, I've never been like the cool girl anyway. So I was like, all right, what am I going to be like?
You are the cool girl.
I was like, all right, what's it going to be? And I'll just be myself, and I should just do that anyway in my 40s. But I get that people want to feel comfortable and want to get rid of the nerves. And I think more people are moving to, especially as they get legalized, more other substances, psychedelics, like microdosing, different things where they're legal and accessible.
A lot of edibles.
Yeah, edibles, different things that are just not going to leave you feeling so crushed the next day or for weeks afterwards. And if you're trying to lose weight, which so many people are, keep in mind that one drink of alcohol stops fat burning for 12 to 36 hours.
Wow.
So my younger coaching clients who are just, they're even on Ozempic or Wegovy, and if they're just younger coaching clients, they lose weight pretty quickly usually on these. But if they're drinking during the week or even on the weekend sometimes, they just are not losing a lot of weight very quickly even with those medications. And as soon as they get rid of the alcohol, they finally get frustrated enough and they just get rid of it, and they lose weight very quickly.
And then their whole life really improves too.
Oh,
they're not hungover,
their puffiness goes away, their skin improves, their mood improves. There's so much anxiety and depression in these Gen Z and millennials. Yeah, and as soon as they transition off of alcohol onto some other more natural plant-based substances, or just to nothing at all, they seem to do so much better and feel so much better and start getting in some exercise and regular sunlight in the morning and getting off their phones. And there's just so many ways that we live now that are so not conducive to being a real human.
Yeah, and I think if we bring it back to the lifestyle, our enjoyment of this is, I think, it's got to be better than a lot of people's, because I don't know. Is that accurate to say?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say this, and I don't want to embarrass you or feel like I'm bragging on you, but our group of swinger friends here where we are, you know, are, it's like 30s, 40s, 50s. We're in our 50s. And that's the same kind of age range that we've matched with when we traveled and have met up with different people. And that was primarily our experience early on. We haven't played in a long time. But I have to say, because we've been on the older side and we've typically matched with people in their 30s mm-hmm. or 40s, your performance, you have outperformed every single man so far. You have.
It's a competition.
You simply have. No, and it's not something we expected, but you had to end up servicing all the women in the room, which I was super proud of for you, but you were more than willing and able to do that. And I think that is something that every man would want. But even one drink, we've noticed, has affected men's erections. Marijuana definitely does. And I think there are some other substances that can. But I think just get to know yourself and be cognizant of it, not only for, not because I'm saying that the erections are all important, because they're definitely not. But I think for men, it can be such a hit to the ego when you have one of those experiences where you don't perform like you want, and then you get in your head. I mean, you tell me, you're the guy.
Did you say erections are not important? Because they definitely are.
No, they they are important. They certainly are, but they're
in
not.
In the lifestyle, they're very important.
And women, we understand that can happen. But if you're a guy where you feel like this is happening all the time to you and you're not making the connection with alcohol, even one drink or even pot or other substances, recognize that there is a definite connection. There's also a connection between cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. insulin resistance, which is 94% of Americans, and inability to get hard and stay hard.
That brings us to the ED talk.
Yes.
Because there's even more to it than that in
so
lifestyle.
Much.
There's the four-way play that can get into guys' heads. There's the performance anxiety that guys have, regardless of their health or what they're doing. And there are ways to treat that, right? But I think when you add alcohol, age, performance anxiety, watching your partner get fucked by someone else, having them watch you fuck someone else,
right?
There's all sorts of things that can cause erectile issues. And there are ways to handle that and manage that. One is, obviously, don't drink too much, for sure. If you're going on a date and you have 2-3 glasses of wine, you're already at a disadvantage if that date turns into something.
Yep. We recommend play first, then eat.
Yes, that is our thing. We
talked
about that.
Play first, then eat, then drink.
Yes, but not everyone can do that. It's definitely not the norm. We're trying to revolutionize this lifestyle.
This is our golden life.
Yes. Play first, then eat, then drink. That's for our own sake, right? Because if we're with people, we want it to have their faculties.
We want it to go well.
Yes, we want it to go well. So it's a great It's a great approach. Well, hopefully we make
We're going to change the standard.
Yes. But for guys, there's performance anxiety overall because you're with someone new. Let's say you're just opening up and you have a four-way connection. It's worked and you're together and suddenly you're in your head. And we've talked to guys who we've even been with who are like, I just really got in my head. And
right.
It's surprisingly common.
Very.
And I would never think that would happen to me. And I haven't had the E issue yet, but I would never thought that I would get into my head so much that I couldn't perform, but I definitely see it because it is so new and you're like, you're the man, you're there and you've got this woman you're supposed to fuck.
You have one job.
You have one job and it definitely can get into your head. So there's that issue with it. So aside from eliminating alcohol as much as you can or other substances that can get in the way, and aside from being more confident in the bedroom and taking care of your body where you're happy with it, what are some of the pre and post treatments you can do to manage the ED thing?
So first and foremost, you want to take care of your cardiovascular health. So if you have a belly, you need to lose that. That is an indicator of poor cardiovascular health that is going to lower blood flow and lead to poor erections. And poor
that's a long-term.
That's long-term. Okay, yeah. So that's number one. Number two, get your testosterone checked and replace it if you need it, as long as you're not having more kids. Number three, if we have Cialis. Cialis and Viagra both improve blood flow, so they help to maintain erections. A side note, Cialis also works for women.
Which is something we discovered.
And is fantastic. I take it about half of a tablet about two or three times a week. It improves performance in the gym as well and improves blood flow on the scalp, so helps with hair loss. Then another bonus for ladies.
Yeah, Cialis is a Tadalafil. Tadalafil is a great medication.
It is.
Take it regularly. You get it up when you need to.
Helps with prostate health too.
Yep. Helps with prostate health. Helps shrink if you have a BPH issue. It'll help shrink your prostate so you have fewer urinary symptoms. So it's a great medication. It's one of the few pharmas that we actually endorse and take.
Yeah.
And then for you, for women, does it heighten sensitivity? What does it do?
It improves blood flow. So you can have, the more blood flow I have to my clitoris, the more intense I'm going to feel an orgasm. So
and they are more intense for you.
Yes.
Yes.
I have definitely noticed that.
And what's your dose per week?
So I think it's about two.
They're 7 milligrams.
Mine are 7 milligrams, but I cut them in half. And so I'm doing that's 3.5 milligrams and I'm taking it like two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I try to time it with my gym time because it does improve your pump at the gym because it's mm-hmm. improving that blood flow. And then, so Cialis is one that you can take that will last, it's longer lasting, right? So it can last, I think, 18 hours, mm-hmm. a couple of days like that. So that's, you don't
need. Great for a weekend party.
Great for a weekend party. Then Viagra is more fast acting, like more immediate, doesn't last as long, but a lot of men and women, I'm assuming, I don't really know any women besides me who are taking Cialis, but maybe more will after hearing this. The difference is there seem to be more symptoms of the stuffy nose yeah. with Viagra because it's like a higher dose, mm-hmm. more if you're
improved. Yeah, I can't take Viagra because it stuffs my sinuses up too much.
It's like
It's
like the opposite of Sudafed. In fact, if you get priapism or a permanent erection that won't go away on one of these medications, you take Sudafed in an emergency to go away. That's the hack. So it's basically, they work in opposite directions. I think Sudafed is a vasoconstrictor. And I think these medications are vasodilators. So those are really great options. And then sometimes men will find that Viagra or Cialis still doesn't work for them. And because most of their issue is mental, they're having a really difficult time seeing their partner with somebody else.
And there is a solution for that.
There is a solution.
Great solution.
There's a couple of solutions. The next thing you can try is a peptide called PT-141 or bromelanotide. It is FDA approved for the treatment of hypoactive sexual desire or low libido in women. But of course, it also works great for men.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small subcutaneous injection, just like we were talking about with the testosterone injections. Bromelanotide is a peptide that works on desire, so more in the brain.
It's truly an aphrodisiac.
Truly.
Not in the old sense of the term, but it's something that will increase desire, sexual desire in women and men, which is amazing.
You know what? I've taken it. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
Look at that party.
Yeah, she slipped in.
I did a little dose.
She did a little dose, and I'm like, so why would you be dosing up before this party, huh?
Just no.
Flipping around.
You grabbed me and kissed me, and then you felt me down there. Uh-huh. And the way I moved, you were like, oh, you took PTSD. Yeah. And I was like, no, I didn't.
So busted.
And then I tried to deny it.
And I was like, you can't. I kept playing with her play just to see if it was true. And it totally worked.
Incredibly sensitive. You have no idea. It's insane. I don't know. What is it like for men?
Same applies to men.
It's just really
sensitive.
I've
only taken it once or twice. I don't remember it being particularly that effective for me, but I have friends who've really recommended. They're like, yeah, you're as hard as a rock. The wind blows and you're just like, you feel it.
Yeah.
And so it definitely increases the sensitivity of your genitalia.
Very much.
And yeah, it's...
We've only done very small doses.
Yeah.
You guys, and if you... Yeah, you want to work with a licensed medical practitioner who's prescribing this, because you start at a very low dose and you work up slowly.
You have to test it.
It can cause nausea, temporary.
Yeah, nausea. I got a little nausea.
You had a little bit of that. A little bit of flushing, it can...
But totally worth it.
Oh my God. Yeah, it doesn't do that to me, but it did do that to you. So everyone's going to be a little different. Again, always work with your provider. Make sure you're getting the right dosing and the right medication. So that's a really fantastic one to try.
And that that can overcome the psychological part, like you said. Like it, also the erection part of it. It's physical and it's mental. But Cialis just does the physical part. Hey, if you're having trouble getting up because of blood flow issues, Cialis and Viagra will help. But if it's beyond that,
mental,
PT-140 can be the stand-in for that.
And what's so great is that a lot of these, so much of it is mental. And even if you've never had a problem and you're just worried you're going to have a problem, before you go into a play situation, like a play party or a hotel takeover, if you're at all nervous about it, you can take these medications ahead of time and just have them on board. And it can feel like a safety net so that you're not worried about it and you get out of your head and you don't have a problem. And you probably wouldn't have had a problem if you weren't in your head in the first place. So it's a little bit circular, but a lot of guys will go ahead and do that just to make sure that they take that stress away of even having to think about it. But if you still have issues after lost weight, you've tried Viagra, you've tried Cialis, you've tried PT-141, the next thing you can try is an injection called Trimix, which will pretty much immediately, I think, mm-hmm. how many, maybe 10, 20 minutes? I don't even know if it takes that long. We'll give you an erection for, I think, 4 hours
straight. Yeah, that's the subcutaneous needle into the base of your penis.
Into the base of your penis.
Which apparently I've heard doesn't hurt.
It's really not that big a deal. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds awful, but from what I hear, it works like a charm.
It's super common in the lifestyle mm-hmm. that these guys have it, and you just have it on in your bag just in case. When you go in the bathroom and do it, all the guys go do it together, and they just...
All the guys do it together.
Yeah, they're just
I haven't heard that.
Let's go. I have. I've read it.
We have a Trimix party in the bathroom.
Trimix party in the bathroom. But yeah, so that's something you can ask your doctor about. Your doctor's probably not going to tell you about, right? And a lot of us are not telling our doctors that we're in the lifestyle because we don't want to get lectured or judged. And something you can ask about. There are other things like penile implants and all that, but that requires surgery.
I've heard horror stories about that.
I have too, and I don't honestly have any expertise on those areas. But... For most men, those are the things that work the best. And even the GLP-1 meds that are used for weight loss and for cardiovascular health are showing to improve erectile dysfunction significantly, because that's the root cause of a huge percentage of it. So, mm-hmm.
So we've talked about a lot of things here, all over the map.
We've been all over the map.
You do what you do, which is you drop your knowledge and people pick up the pieces. So we'll put it into a format here. Which would be, okay, let's say, what are the top 5 things I need to do for hormone replacement for women?
Okay. You want to, first of all, get these tests, estradiol, testosterone free and total, and sex hormone binding globulin, and your progesterone. If you're still cycling, you get your testosterone and estrogen tested on day like 3 to 5 of your cycle. Day 1 of your cycle is the first day of your period. You test your progesterone about 7 days before you start your period. Some doctors will call that day 21, but it's not day 21 if you don't have a 28-day cycle. So just think about whenever your period is due, count back 7 days. That's when you want to test your progesterone. We want to see if you're ovulating or not, because if you're not, we need progesterone. Typically after 35, the two hormones that we want to start replacing that start to go down are progesterone and testosterone. As after 35, we're not ovulating as often, that's when we make our own progesterone. And then testosterone will go down just as we age, but it can also be eliminated completely if you're on a lot of the birth control pills. Yes, that is true. You heard
that. That's what we didn't get to, actually.
We didn't even get to the birth control pill and how synthetic hormonal birth control can absolutely decimate your libido. But yes, look into that. Read Dr. Sarah E. Hill's book, This Is Your Brain, on birth control and how it affects who is attracted to you, who you are attracted to, your mood, your gut function, your libido. Most of these pills take your testosterone to zero, undetectable levels, okay?
And which women need.
Women need testosterone desperately. Without it, we have no get up and go. It's not just about libido. It's about confidence and mojo and our desire to get up and get dressed in the morning, our enthusiasm, our confidence. I mean, think about how you were in your 20s when you just had that swagger. That's what goes away, and in men too. So keep in mind, symptoms of low progesterone are going to be inability to fall asleep and stay asleep, anxiety. We talked about for men when they lose their testosterone, they start to become grumpy old men or get off my lawn. For women, they become Karens, and a lot of that has to do with low progesterone. Progesterone is a really calming hormone.
You mean the Karen that yells at the manager?
Right, Karen, I want to see the manager, yeah. Right? She needs hormone replacement. No one's giving it to her. It's not her fucking fault. And you can get through your 40s with progesterone and testosterone usually. Typically in our 40s and perimenopause, we're still making enough estrogen. In fact, sometimes we can make a ton of it and be really estrogen dominant. But it'll be high and it'll be fluctuating.
Another good reason for tests.
Tests are really important because you could have PCOS. And then if you have PCOS, you might have really high testosterone and not need testosterone. But the root cause of PCOS is insulin resistance. So for PCOS, again, GLP-1 medications are fantastic. You're going to need to lower your carbs and sugar. That'll reverse that. That's why a lot of these GLP-1 medications are reversing infertility in young women, because they are treating the root cause of PCOS, which is a major cause of infertility among women.
So what's the next thing they can do?
So test all their hormones, replace the hormones you need replaced. Toward the end of your 40s, once you start noticing lighter periods or getting farther apart, then you can start replacing your estrogen. Those are kind of signs of low estrogen. Maybe your breasts don't get sore anymore. You feel having a lot of more vaginal dryness or pain during intercourse. That's low estrogen. Then start adding estrogen. And then when you go through menopause, you just continue replacing all three hormones until you die. Or at least that's what I'm doing. So I will never be without hormones, ever.
And what else can women do?
PT-141. I love my PT-141. I don't use it all the time. You typically only use it when I'm going into a potential, like a lifestyle party, or if we're meeting with another couple, because I easily have a great libido with you, but I get really nervous with new people. And when I get nervous, my body releases cortisol, and that shuts down my libido altogether. And so I just like to have something on board. I like the PT and the Cialis. So
Anna's just really horny when we go to play parties before we even get there.
I'm horny for you. But it just makes me more responsive and able to have more of a good time, because otherwise it would just be, I don't know. I take a while to warm up, and I want to have fun. And I don't know how many years I have left on this planet. So I'm just...
Oh, we're going to make them fun.
I want to make it fun.
Yeah.
And
so they can take that.
I'm on all three hormones. I'm on Armour Thyroid, PT-141, Cialis. PT I'm just taking maybe once a week, maybe twice a month. And then I'll do the Cialis, like I said, 2 to 3 times a week, just half a tablet. Be careful with the Cialis. It can make you lightheaded. I had COVID and I was taking it, and I got up in the middle of the night to pee, and I actually passed out. It's something called orthostatic hypotension, where you get really lightheaded upon standing. And I think it was a combination of having COVID, taking a bunch of cold medications plus the Cialis, and I flat out passed out in my bathroom and cut my chin open. I had to get stitches.
Yeah, very scary.
And I was alone in my house, and I'm just glad I didn't get knocked out. Be careful with that. Don't overdo it.
I would say with those meds, like Cialis and Viagra, more is not more.
No.
If you take too much of that, like with Cialis, I can get headaches if I take too much. It's stuffiness. Not pleasant to have a headache when you're wanting to play, right? And the stuffiness for me, for sure. So take the right doses of
these
things.
Low,
a lot of guys
slow.
Will just go bigger. Oh, okay. Yep. If 10 will work, then 20 will really. No. Yeah. So you want to just be careful about dosing. And all of these take careful dosing.
Very much. Yes. What else?
For men.
Yeah. What do you feel like is your happy combo? You haven't needed anything. I think for you, it literally is just wanting to be prepared just in case.
Yeah. So it's testo for sure, just because that's for everything, not just libido, but for everything in my life. It just fuels my life. And Cialis for play parties, just for backup, just in case maybe I get in my head, or maybe I don't feel it that day or whatever. And it gives me confidence going in that I'll be able to manage, and it works. And that's really it for me. And we take lots of supplements. That's a whole another episode. Yeah. But I know that since I've begun taking all of those supplements that all do different things, I don't think I'll ever stop taking them because I just think I'm in the right place now. They're obviously working. Something's working. I don't get sick. I feel great. I have energy. And it's a combination of an entire assortment of treatments, medications, working out, new ways of eating, and supplements. It just gives me the health that I feel today.
Like, we don't go to the doctor other than to get our bioidentical hormones, our peptides. Like, we don't go to the doctor because we're sick or infirm or bad knees.
Yeah, I don't even have a doctor right now because I don't. There's one that's a concierge doctor that I've been thinking about. I need to have a doctor on hand, but when? Like, why? If I break my arm, I'll go to the urgent care. And so a conventional doctor just doesn't fit in my life anymore. Now, maybe when I'm older, who knows? But doctors are great for fixing things and for diagnosing disease.
For acute care, right?
For acute care.
You're in a car wreck.
Your conventional MD is great for that. But they're traditionally not great with keeping you well.
Yes.
And that's what this whole episode's about. It's about being well, not just being alive.
And opting out of the system that we've been forced into and opening your eyes to seeing different ways.
Which lifestyle people are very adept at.
They are, right?
They open their eyes to see different ways of doing it. And this is why so many of them are doing this.
That's right.
Because we do run across a lot of people who are very, yes, very knowledgeable about functional health.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think functional medicine and the lifestyle pair perfectly together because it is. It's like we grow up and we're taught that the, you know, monogamous system is the only way to be. If we're attracted to someone else, we must not love our partner. It's the same with conventional medicine. We've just been blinded into thinking that this is the only way to be, that we have to just accept whatever a doctor tells us, that they're the be all end all. And they should be, unfortunately, but they're not properly trained. And look, you've said this before, nobody cares about your health more than you do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our system is a for-profit system in this country. So when you go to a doctor, they are not necessarily going to tell you the treatments that are best for you. They're going to tell you the treatments that are most profitable for that practice.
Or for the pharmaceutical rep that just sold them that concept.
Exactly. That's right. Taking them and their whole family to Hawaii.
And we're a little cynical on the system, and there are good reasons for that. And all of us know the downside of the medical care system in this country. It's not the best it could be. But like you were saying that I say, no one cares more about your health. And the great thing about functional health is when you have your data, you have all the decision-making power that you need. You know what you need. It's not like someone's opinion based on your age.
Right.
Or your weight or height. Yeah, the normals in the labs. I have my data. I have my labs. I can go to a doctor and say, this says I'm low on vitamin D. Therefore, I need vitamin D supplementation. Or this says my testosterone's low. I need that up.
Yep.
And if you won't give it to me, I'm going to find somebody who will, because that needs to be optimal.
And keep in mind, everybody's optimal level of hormones is different. So if you don't feel good and you said your doctor says you should feel fine at a testosterone of 500 and you don't.
Right.
Optimal levels are typically 800 to 1100 for men. And for women, they're supposed to be 50 to 70. I don't feel optimal until my testosterone's 200 and my free testosterone's 10. I have no facial hair. I'm not losing head hair. I don't have a Adam's apple. I look very feminine. And
you do. And you guys, but if you could see this woman right here, she looks 35 years old. She's 51, as she said earlier. She's matching with guys who are in their 30s because she's so hot. She's naturally beautiful, of course. But she's also vibrant and healthy, and it comes through.
So if you're a woman, your options for hormone replacement are this. For estradiol, you can have an FDA-approved generic estradiol patch. They come in different strengths. You'll start low and go slow. The patch can be changed once or twice a week. I prefer the twice-a-week patches because they're smaller and they're less obvious, less visible. There's also estradiol cream. And then there are estradiol injections that you can get that are small subcutaneous injections. I used to do the patches, and I recently switched to injections because when I am at a play party, I don't like to have an obvious patch on me. I've had someone ask about it, and I immediately ordered the injections next. So I inject 2 to 3 times a week, very small amounts, so no one knows I have a patch on me. But those are your choices. You can also do estradiol pellets. And again, we talked about pellets earlier. That's not my first choice. They're very expensive. You cannot adjust the dose. I really like injections or creams or even the patch because you can adjust the dose. If it's too much, you can take the patch off. You can adjust as needed. If you start to get breast tenderness or heavy periods, those are symptoms of high estrogen, you can lower your dose as needed. So those are your options there. For testosterone, women are typically going to be prescribed a compounded testosterone cream. I was on the cream for a long time. I was advised by a nurse practitioner friend to apply the cream to the tops of my feet away from my hair where there's a lot of vasculature. My levels were very good with the cream, but the problem was I was converting a lot to DHT, which is an androgen that is typically associated with hair loss. And I was experiencing hair loss. And I found an article that showed that when you inject testosterone, it converts to DHT at a much lower rate than when you use it transdermally, like as in a cream. So I found a doctor who would prescribe me the injections, which is obviously a much smaller amount that a man would use for injections. And now my levels are exactly the same, except for my DHT was in the 400s, now that's in the 100s, and I don't have hair loss anymore. So I will never go back to the cream, and I love the injections. You can also do testosterone pellets, but they are typically very expensive, and you will typically be overdosed, which will cause weight gain, especially around the middle for women. It will cause you to grow hair on your chin, lose hair on the top of your head, acne. Your voice might get lower. It's just when you overdose, it's a real problem. If you accidentally get too much of a testosterone cream or an injection, you just do less next time. Very easy to course correct, right? So those are all of your options. Most doctors are not giving you all your options. For progesterone, you can do a compounded cream, which is nice. You can use that during the day. It doesn't make you sleepy. But the very best progesterone is oral micronized progesterone. It is a prescription, is a little gel cap that you take at night from 100 to 400 milligrams a night. Helps with sleep incredibly when you take it orally. It converts, it is metabolized in the liver, and the metabolite that it creates is called allopregnanolone, which you can look up. It's a very calming metabolite and is responsible for lowering anxiety and helping with sleep. The oral micronized progesterone at night is amazing. So that's what I use, that is my trifecta. For hormone replacement, I use the oral micronized progesterone at night, and I use testosterone and estradiol injections. But a lot of women, I think most women, are going to be using estradiol patches and testosterone compounded cream.
There's no reason you, who are maybe in your 40s or your 50s, listening to this, maybe in your 30s, who don't feel like you look your best, don't feel your best, that you can't change that. And that's the message I want to give you, is that you have the ability to transform your health. It's in your hands. You get your data. You do the things that are best for your body. And you can watch yourself change over time. And you'll be so excited for the results. We've seen people change their lives in 90 days.
Give yourself 3 months. That's what I told you. Yeah. You were skeptical
when
we first met.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what's all this mumbo jumbo you're telling me? My doctor says I need to take a statin. And you could do that, but you'll eventually get dementia.
We have that in our families.
I had to fight that with them to get off the statins. They will fight you on that because it's so ingrained in the medical system what statins are. But if you do your research and you see the right studies, you'll realize that shit is
And just
poison.
Watch your own labs change. Watch how you feel change.
Yep.
Right?
Which
nothing.
I've done.
Nobody can argue with success. Mm-hmm. And that's what we found with our doctors, is they won't do it themselves, but we found other doctors who will, and then they can't argue with it. And then sometimes they'll write the prescription for you once they've seen, because they're concerned about avoiding litigation.
Yeah, avoiding litigation. If they write a testosterone script for you, they're going to take on this risk that you're going to use it for bodybuilding, which is the old thing
so
about
ridiculous.
Testosterone. There's all these
Same
cancer
with thyroid
warnings.
Medication.
Yeah,
right?
It's all bullshit. And So to take control of your health with your data, and advocate for yourself, and go get the things that you need to feel better. And you can feel free to Google and ChatGPT everything we've told you in this, and we hope you'll get the right answers. Again, we're not doctors, we're not telling you what to do, but we know what's worked for us and what works for hundreds of patients that Anna's practice sees every day.
Yeah.
And you'll hear about this more and more. This is not the last time you'll hear about this.
No, this is not fringe.
Yes, this is.
For the people who can afford it. And look, the people are like, oh, that's inaccessible to me, or I don't make a lot of money. I don't either make a lot of money, but I would rather spend more money up front right now on optimizing my health and never being sick and feeling my very best than having to spend buttloads later when I am sick, infirm, in a nursing home, or my children have to take care of me and I'm in diapers. Absolutely the fuck
yeah,
not.
You're not gonna be in diapers.
I want to be
no
at
way.
Play parties when I'm in my 70s and 80s.
No diapers at the play party.
Absolutely not. That's no, not sexy.
So with that, you guys have it. It's in your hands. Feel free to ask us any questions
yes.
in the Facebook group. Please review our podcast. We're new at this and we don't know really how to get the word out about this. Please share it with your friends. We'd love to have all the questions you can. This is what excites us about it. We don't have any sponsors. We're not making any money on this, obviously. But we just do it for the fun and do it for the interactions, and we hope we can get a lot of those.
And this is the time to email us or write us on the Facebook group, because literally nobody is.
Pretty much.
You'd be the only people, and so we'd be like, we'll talk to you.
Someday that will change, and we might not have any time for you, but for now we have all the time in the
world. For now, we're like, we can totally
please write to us and tell your friends about this if you think that would help them. I think this particular episode could really help a lot of people.
I hope so, and I hope it didn't sound like too stringent. It can seem really overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
And it certainly can be, but my own path to better health took several years, but it has been so worth it. And I'm just, it ultimately led to me getting out of a really unhealthy marriage that I literally couldn't do because I didn't have the physical or mental strength to do it. And when I got healthy again, I had the bandwidth to realize what was going on and the mental health and physical strength to make the changes that I needed to make. And now here I am living just an incredible life that I can only live in my dreams, honestly.
And you can too.
You can.
With that, write us, talk to us.
Okay.
And wait for the next one. Look forward to it.
Bye.